Good day, good people. I am Brother Robert Farrell. Welcome to Contemplative Interbeings Wisdom Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday is recorded live on Crowdcast, and we invite all of our podcast and YouTube listeners to join us live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central here on Crowdcast. That way you too can become part of the conversation and dialogue that happens after our reflections. Whether you are here for the live session or you are enjoying the recording, thank you for being part of Wisdom Wednesday. Now, wisdom is not knowing more, but it is knowing with more of you. It's knowing deeper. And so, Wisdom Wednesday is an invitation to the depths of yourself, to the depths of your intellect, your will, your emotions, all parts of you. Yes, you're invited to open to the ground of wisdom, which is the transformation of the human heart and human consciousness. Today, we're going to encounter three brief wisdom contemplations. Each one's going to be followed by a minute of silence where you are invited to the spiritual practice of resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Resonate. Does something connect with you? And it might be symbolized by a word or a phrase that you hear. Reflect, an opportunity just to meditate with images and thoughts about what you've heard. You can respond in many ways by journaling, by movement, by prayer. And rest, just to simply be silent and open to the presence and action of divine love in your life. We'll close with the spiritual practice and then the group dialogue. And today's theme is crisis contemplation. And I'll talk, of course, a little bit about that in just a moment. But now let us take another breath again and open our hearts. Settle ourselves into a calm, centered presence. And see if we can listen from that heart space. Friends, when the ordinary isn't ordinary anymore, and crisis is upon us, the self can center in this refuge that Barbara Holmes calls crisis contemplation, a space that is neither the result of spiritual seeking nor the voluntary entry into meditative spaces. Much of today's theme is based off of the work of Barbara Holmes and her book by the same title, Crisis Contemplation. Crisis contemplation is a cracking open. It's the rupture and shattering of self, of community, of expectations and presumptions about how the world works. When we let go, the only constants are God's love and God's promise that we'll never be left alone. So Barbara Holmes' naming of crisis contemplation, it actually expands the traditional understanding of contemplation. That traditional understanding, quite frankly, has been largely formed by educated, privileged, and often celibate white male teachers. But crisis contemplation, it opens the door to an inclusive recognition of how God works in and through all things, even the worst things in life itself. And contemplative experience can emerge in times of collective crisis. So crisis contemplation begins with what you can call the communal, village, or tribal experience of crisis. Experience of crisis at the individual level is critically important, and we don't want to discount that. But you are invited to frame and understand how crisis can be experienced at the communal, tribal, national, and global levels. Because for a group of people, crisis contemplation is an event without warning. And the people upon whom it is inflicted can't do anything about it. Something else must arise to keep you going, to enliven your spirit. And crisis contemplation is that spirit that emerges when the breaking occurs. We find it in every single culture, a spirit that dwells within all of us. It is that vital spiritual voice that weaves the lives of all of us into an inseparable bond. It makes reality one whole. It gives kinship to all of us, interbeing. And with the moving of the Spirit, it's inherent to our being, for where the Spirit abides, there's always unity. It is in the darkness, it is in the moment of crisis when you've fallen through all of your own expectations that there's an opportunity for rebirthing. And crisis contemplation is a breaking and a shattering of expectations. It's the experience of your worlds colliding. Everything is happening that shouldn't be happening. So the question becomes, how do you contemplate when you are devastated? Crisis contemplation begins when we relinquish our usual approaches to problem solving. Now, everyone is going to want to have a clear process to resolve something, but there aren't any answers like that. The first thing you do is you got to slow down. And to slow down seems like the wrong thing to do when there's fire on the mountain. In hurrying up all the time, we often lose sight of the abundance of resources that might help us meet today's most challenging crisis. We rush through the same patterns that we're used to. Of course, there isn't a single way to respond to a crisis. There's no universal correct way. However, the call to slow down works to bring us face to face with the invisible, with the unremarked, and the yet to be resolved. And it is about staying in the places that are haunted. And also, there has to be reciprocity and mutuality. It is giving ourselves over, letting go so that something else can do the loving through us and for us. Let us take a minute now to pause and resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Our time in evolution is a dark night time, a time of crisis and transition that must be understood if it's to be part of learning a new vision and harmony for the human species and the planet. The planet is literally on fire. In a true impasse, facing an extended experience of crisis, every normal manner of acting is brought to a standstill. It is unavoidable suffering. And the most dangerous temptation is to give up, to quit, or to surrender to cynicism and despair. If the ego does not demand understanding in the name of control and predictability, impasse can be the condition for creative growth and transformation. Our experience of God and our spirituality must emerge from our concrete historical situation. It's here God makes demands for our conversion, for our healing, for justice, love, compassion, solidarity, and communion. And it's here the face of God appears, a God who dies in human beings and rises in human freedom and dignity, a God who dies in human beings and rises in human freedom and dignity. We close off the breaking in of God into our lives if we cannot admit into consciousness the situations of profound impasse. And it is only in the process of bringing the impasse to prayer, bringing it to the perspective of the God who loves us, that is when our society will be freed, healed, changed, brought to paradoxical new visions, and freed for nonviolent, selfless, liberating action, freed, therefore, for community on this planet Earth. And what we forget, faith-wise, in our fear, is that even in the darkest night, when we see no light at all, the light is still there. The sun is still shining over Earth, even when our side of Earth rotates away from it. The stars still shine above us, no matter how thick the clouds above our heads. What we need in the darkest nights is to keep walking along the path until we can glimpse the stars again. That poetic phrase, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You have turned my mourning into dancing. We must meet the threats in our lives. We must fight for justice, for our safety, and the right to live in a world where we can thrive. But even in the darkness of midnight, we can maintain a connection to the light. When we cannot survive in darkness by usual visual tools of sight, we still have those internal tools of memory to remind us of the terrain. So until dawn comes, we need more than the determination to fight for justice. We need love to keep us from getting lost in distraction, love to keep us from falling into despair, love to help us restore ourselves, get back into harmony with ourselves, so that we can last through that dark night. Let's pause here for a minute to resonate, reflect, respond, and rest. Friends, we inhabit a period in history that seems to be filled with conflict. The world has become an uncertain place, a dark place where we cannot see what may happen next. And all we know, based on our recent experience, is that things could and probably will get worse. Every human heart longs for light over darkness. And in our suffering, we embody the finite and the vulnerable condition of all humanity. Our long walk is the walk of every person who has known what it means to be alone and afraid. But we walk with courage and dignity because we have the hope of the Spirit within us. Hope is what makes room for love in the world. We can all share it, we can all believe in it, even if we are radically different in every other way. We no longer need to fear our differences because we have common ground. We can hope together. Therefore, hope liberates us. It frees us from our fear of the other. It opens our eyes to see love all around us. It unites us and breaks our isolation. So when we decide to embrace hope, when we choose to make that our goal and message, we release a flow of energy that cannot be overcome. That flow of energy is love. And hope is a light that darkness can never contain. What is it that we are to do then? Well, the arts are an integral part of crisis contemplation and healing communal wounds. The artists are the prophets, because they say what can't be said in ways that can be heard. They dance it, they rap it, they write it in dramas. They are the forerunners for the community. Art knits a community together without having to do a lot of talking about it. Poetry and rap rhythms offer survival to people who are marginalized into poverty. And through art, they can take that poverty and turn it on its head. In our communities, we dance. We let our bodies reveal our suffering and our persistence. When all else fails, we sing ourselves sane. Because art opens portals to new realities. Art is prophetic. Art is humanizing. Art is rehumanizing. It speaks truth to power, and so it is another way in which a community can come together and express themselves in ways that the power structures can do nothing about. Art is an expression of spirit. A lot that comes out of artists is not coming from them, it's coming through them. And the reason art is so powerful is that when you have expressions of art coming through a group of people, through a village, a community, you have a great deal of creative and strategic power that's available to everyone for their use. They are leading with what is coming through them, and that's always so, so healing. Let's take another breath, pause once again to resonate, reflect, respond, rest. My gratitude to you, friends, for sitting together and receiving that. I hope it has some meaning for you in some way. Our spiritual practice this week comes to us from Ruth King in her book, Mindful of Race. It is a call to our artistic calling, because art is a form of medicine that for ourselves and for our communities. To express ourselves artistically is a mindfulness practice in that we are inseparably both creator and that which is being created. As we courageously give ourselves to our artistic expression, then we cultivate patience and empathy and discipline and our capacity to hold energy as it cooks and simmers into an offering of truth to ourselves and a caring offering to our culture. Because art speaks to a truth larger than our suffering, and our job is to make a genuine offer. And whether you are a writer, a dancer, a healer, a sculptor, a painter, a singer, an architect, a teacher, a gardener, a philosopher, or a caregiver, your offering is sure to be medicine for collective well-being. So consider your life a gift. What is inside? What creative expressions are you warehousing that bring you alive and belong to all of us? Remember, as Howard Thurman says, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And the offerings of our creativity are noble and emancipating. When practiced, we come out of hiding into light. When shared, it supports love and respect and inspires harmony and hope. It's a gesture of gratitude, a way of giving back. So this week, as your spiritual practice, try to say yes to your artistic calling, because that is a way of saying yes to our culture. That is a way of saying, here is my offering of care. I look forward to receiving your gifts of creativity and your artistic calling, and so does the rest of the world. Well, friends, we are about to enter into our dialogue session, so we say goodnight to our podcast and YouTube listeners. And we remind each of us that love is the way and that you are love. So stay awesome, be artistic, and be love. We hope to see you all again soon.